This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 99.9 KISW, loud and local, and we have a band called Dre Mora. Now, I talked with Dre Mora during the pandemic, during a stay-home session, and that was early, and, you know, I kind of jerry-rigged a Zoom mic, Zoom thing, and it was cool and all, but it's much better to have it in person, and you guys have evolved quite a bit. We're going to get into all of that, but welcome to the studio. Tell us what your name is and what you do in Dre Mora.
My name's Jared. I play drums and program the computer.
Awesome.
And pretty much everything else for the live show. Yeah. And then I'm Terry, and I play guitar and I do vocals, and I write most of the songs and stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome. So. Is there any missing members of the band, or is it just a two-piece right now?
Well, we have Jonathan. He's he plays live bass for us in a lot of shows. He will be there on November 2nd playing bass. So, yeah, and we'll talk more about that, too.
Cool, right on. And again, it's November 2nd, the show that we're going to talk about tonight with King Youngblood, Atrocity Girl, and Dre Mora, the band I'm talking about. The band I'm talking with at Tony V's, and that's going to be an all-ages gig. V's in Everett. So you guys, adapted and changed quite a bit and really kind of just moved your sound along to let's talk a little bit about this, because the last time we talked, pretty heavy. You guys are still heavy, but you guys are a little bit why don't you bring a little bit?
Okay. During that episode that we did, I think at that time, right out of the gate, and we had kind of talked about this before coming here, like how could we make this really concise? And that's like we started this before the pandemic happened, and I had been fresh out of Odysseon. I was the drummer in Odysseon, and that band kind of dissolved. And then I was going to go be a drummer for another band. I was just going to find a touring band and go do that.
I'm sure you could find them.
People love drummers. I was getting offers, but then I was like, hey.
You could probably be in 12 bands if you wanted.
You could.
Right? Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I could do this, or I could try something different and just see if I could get some people to play music with me. And I wrote a few songs, and then I had kind of reached out to some people, and we got some stuff together and ended up being me and Jared.
Yeah.
And trying to get the stuff I had on the computer kind of sound like real life music in my house.
Yep. Yeah.
And that was the first hurdle. And so these were things that it took me a week to make these four songs. And it was just like chug, 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 breakdown, whatever. You know what I mean? Like I was just trying to make some stuff that resembled some songs. And so I didn't really have a dartboard out going like, this is what I want it to sound like, and this is what it's going to sound at. And so it ended up being so many different things, and that was the biggest problem from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then my friend Taylor, who was also the vocalist in Odysseon, very talented dude, very cool. I called him, and it was pandemic, so everyone was not doing anything. I was like, hey, you want to come over and hang out? And he's like, of course. So we put some vocals on track, sounded sick. And we were like, well, let's see if we could do
something.
This.
Let's keep it going.
Right. So like I said, this was like, cool. This is rolling along. What sucked was there was nowhere to play any shows. So there's cool. Everyone has all this time, but there's no place to play a real show and figure out if this will work or if we're going to get along or what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that turns out to be a really big part of a band is, can I trust you on stage? Are you going to show up on time for gigs? If I have you come up and talk to Kevin from Metal Shop, are you going to ditch me? Are you going to talk about stuff you shouldn't talk about? And so we didn't get to figure out any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once I had kind of a band together and we had went through quite a few people, then I got offered this tour from a friend of mine to go on tour, and we hadn't even played a show.
Yeah.
Did you guys do it?
Well, I said yes. You know, of course I was like, yes, I'll do it. And then I told the guys, I was like, I said yes to this. And then it's like, we need to find a show to play a show.
Right.
And so we got a show together and we did play it. But it was like a captive, it was like an audience sitting at tables with masks on with like, you know, all.
Yeah. And I remember
like,
those, huh?
Yeah. So like that was the show. And they clapped and they were stoked to be there.
They clapped.
Yeah. Totally. The next show we played was in Las Vegas. And that was the second band, the second show the band ever played. So we showed up to Vegas, one show under our belt as a band in 117 degree weather.
Oh my
just drove
God.
For 22 hours, and got out of the van and played. They just got us right on the stage. And we played, and it was just so hot. And I mean, my mind was somewhere else.
Dude, it was something else.
But anyways, I'm just trying to paint a picture for
how was that? How did the show go?
It went great.
In Vegas?
It was awesome, man. No, it went all right. I mean, between Terry, myself, and the other members we've had and played with, I mean, we've all done shows before.
Sure.
We've all played in bands. We know how it goes. But, you know, it was really interesting just kind of taking this like, you know, second step through the door is the first stop on the tour. That was pretty wild, but I mean, we did it, we made it work. We continued for the next
117 degrees. Jesus.
Fortunately, one of the fortunate parts about that, I mean, lots of fortunate parts, great part about that tour is it got cooler the more more we went on.
Good.
I think we did like what, 14 dates.
Who was that tour with?
Head PE.
Wow.
And Dropout Kings.
Dropout Kings.
And they became like, they were my favorite people.
They became, that's a pretty big nu metal band these
days.
They
were so cool.
Dropout Kings.
Adam
and
all the dudes in there, Joe, the drummer. Yep. They were just a riot, man. I have so many videos and good times, and they're just good dudes.
Okay.
They're all so cool, man.
Yes. They're just a bunch of hooligans drinking and being crazy. It was funny.
So Head PE and Dropout Kings, first tour. So would you call Dre Mora a nu metal band? Are you guys nu metal?
I think at the time there was still,
because nu metal's back again.
It sure
100%.
Is.
I think there's elements of nu metal in it, and I think that's only there because I kind of come from that world. It was the stepping stone on the way to heavier music for sure, but I still like some of it for reals. I still listen to Taproot.
Okay.
I think Gift is a fantastic album. I think like
that's
you know,
one you don't hear people mention all the time.
Taproot. Yeah, totally. That vocals were like really unique, and they were really raw, which I mean, I think that's kind of a missing element of what they're calling nu metal now. Is like it's got the spirit of nu metal, but it's really edited. And I think nu metal was like punk rock, hardcore, but like there were even kind of like less endowed musicians, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So they were
really
playing
basic.
Like really caveman stuff, but like going for it and like making it just emotional, you know, like those old Limp Bizkit videos, they're going for it.
Yeah.
Like they're all over the stage. I mean, like it's crazy and the crowd can sense that. I'm not getting a ton of that off the newer version of nu metal, although it's cool that people are taking that and running with it because I never thought it was a bad version of metal. I just thought like here's another thing that you could like or dislike. You know what I mean? It did get a lot of hate.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But things were different back then.
So you hit this first tour, you come back, and then let's fast forward a little bit. So you guys now have some songs that you're kind of a little bit more what you kind of want to focus on as far as the evolution of the band. Is that right?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So the other stuff was, I would say it was like deathcore vocals, kind of like deathcore-y kind of riffs, and I think it was a lot in the metalcore, deathcore kind of feel, and I think what we kind of realized about that, and we've talked about it, me and Jared are kind of, we're the two amigos, okay? We're the core of this band, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
We play shows, just us.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, we will play with a bass player or with not a bass player or other members. But we'll always just, it's been me and him, and we have agreed on that for sure.
Absolutely.
That no one's going to come in and break us up, okay? Yeah. We're together. But
bromance.
Yes, exactly. I think, you know, mainly it's like we talked about it so much. Like, does this represent us as musicians? Is this what we want to do? Because I love death metal. But, like, is this what, can we continue to keep doing this? Does it feel genuine? And the answer was continually, no, what should we do then? And I think what we've landed on now is a mix of like metal elements. It's definitely got guitar solos. It's got sweep picking. It's got a lot of those elements in there. It's got chugs. It's got kind of the aesthetic of it, but it definitely has some new metal bounce. Yeah. It's definitely got
some pop, some melodic.
It's got vocals in there that are definitely not metal.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that was important to be like, if we're going to be eclectic, let's really just go for it and be eclectic and not be on the bell curve of like putting one foot in the pool. You know, it got to be like,
just go all in. Yeah.
You
know?
You're getting jump in the pool.
Okay? I like it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah.
Go see them with King Youngblood and Atrocity Girl at Tony V's next month. That's November 2nd. And that's going to be an all-ages show. So you can show up, you can have some drinks if you're 21 and over, or you can show up and you can have some sodas and enjoy some music, because music should not be just for people that are over 21. Music should be for everyone.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I really hate that there's not more all-ages shows.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, if I was a kid and there wasn't places to go when I was a kid, that I just... seemed like there was so much more when I was younger, though.
So let's talk about that. Where did you grow up? Do you grow up in Stanwood area? Is that
so
right?
So I grew up, yeah. My formative years were Camano Island, Stanwood area.
Were there venues in that area you
we
could go
rented
to?
Out the Grange. Me and my friend Dan.
Oh, nice.
He worked at Burger King. I worked at Burger King. And you could rent out the Grange for $200.
Yeah.
And they just gave us the keys and they said, you know, here, give us a deposit.
Did you bring a PA or what?
Yes. We had all of our collective PAs.
Yeah.
And a lot of our dads were musicians.
That's awesome.
And so we just gather all this stuff together. We had like a couple PV things and a couple Behringer these and a couple those and a board and whatever. And put it all together. And all the kids in town, because we were in high school, so I could just put a flyer up at every urinal.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd be passing them up. And we would get 100, you know, 150 kids to show up. And it was, I mean, that's what we did there. There was also a place called TLC and More in Smoky Point.
Okay.
That was like the corner of a strip mall right off of the train tracks there when you get off the 116th exit.
Okay.
And it was right next to a Papa John's.
When, yeah.
So like there was a PA in there and we played like death metal in there.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
It was like loud.
Was that like a skate rink or something?
No, it was a coffee shop.
Oh, okay.
All right. The owner just... you know, she was so cool. She was like,
just like, ah,
hey, kids, here's a cool place for you to come that's safe. And like, we would,
that's awesome.
It was. And it really was like a confidence boost because it was so small.
Yeah.
It was like about the size of this little studio.
Get 20 people in there, you feel like a rock star.
Yes, dude. Yeah. Like, you could crowd surf to the window and back.
Oh,
like,
my God.
But yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, I was just thinking about that we were coming here. I know you love Hatebreed.
Yes.
I also love Hatebreed. And we would cover songs off of Perseverance, and everyone in the crowd would know the songs.
Amazing.
And you'd get them to be able to chant those songs. It felt like your own song.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you want to see me fail? You won't get your chance.
So, okay. Nice.
But no, but that was the experience I had when I was a kid.
What was the name of your band?
At that time, I was in first band was Dying Pride, which okay. I didn't come with that name. And the second band was Synthetic. Also, I think we put a bunch of names into a hat, and that was the least stupid one.
Okay.
Like, okay.
Synthetic sounds like a nu metal band. Dying Pride sounds kind of like a hardcore band. Could also be a skinhead band.
Yeah, I think we did like a couple Metallica covers. Cause like,
nice.
Yeah, I think it was all over the place, man. I don't know. We were kids.
High
man.
School bands.
We were just trying to make noise and like get it together like that. If it just
did
was
you
like
guys
together.
Know each other in high school?
No.
Okay.
No,
how'd you guys meet?
Please, Jared.
We met through the band I was in prior to this, Jesus Wears Armani.
Yeah.
I was a participant in the band for about 6 years or so, and I would say around late 2018, we did a tour as that band, and afterwards came back around and, I don't know, found ourselves in a spot where we needed creative inspiration. We needed a writer. We needed someone to come in and kind of guide our ship.
Yeah.
Through some trials and tribulations, we ended up. Rich, the vocalist, had contact with Terry, and I think he was on your podcast, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they touched base there, and then Rich presented to me the opportunity to have a new guitarist join the band.
Yeah.
And we were all excited for Terry came on by. Presented some ideas and got started jamming on some things, and it was a really cool experience. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out with everyone involved.
Sure,
and that's okay. It comes, it goes.
Yeah.
And after some reflection, the band decided and felt for ourselves that we accomplished what we needed to out of it, and from that point, the project kind of just dissolved. And not too long afterwards, Terry hit me up and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a drummer to start a new project. You want to build this from the ground up with me?" And that's really how we got to know each other.
Nice.
I mean, we'd played shows together with Odyssean, North,
totally, but it was
south,
just like
Seattle, everywhere.
Cool set, bro. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, sick set.
That's about the extent of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Great drumming. Love that OCDP kit, bro.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Right. Yeah, totally, man.
So I have to admit my ignorance to Jesus Wears Armani, but I will mention.
That's okay.
Every time I saw the flyers for Avoid the Armani, I was like, these are the wildest names, dude. So Jesus Wears Armani, I got to ask, was it a play on Devil Wears Prada? I'm assuming yes. It was kind of like a joke on that, or?
I can't say for sure.
Okay.
I joined the band after it had already been established for probably 5+ years. And to be honest, I couldn't get a straight answer.
Okay.
So, hey, I rolled with it, man.
Fair enough.
It was fun.
Fair enough. But you were in Jesus Wears Armani for a little bit, or?
No. What happened was I had talked to Rich and I showed him some of those songs that I talked to you about.
Yes.
Trying to put something together.
Oh,
and then he was like, "Hey, I got some guys that we're trying to revitalize this thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Why don't you come over and we'll see if we can all work together."
Yeah,
and it kind of didn't work out. And then me and Jared started Dremora.
Well, there you go.
So yeah, but yeah, I assumed the same thing you assumed.
Yeah,
but yeah.
So okay, what is a Dremora? Dremora.
Okay. Yeah. So originally, I just liked the way it sounded.
Okay.
But I am, I have my whole life been a gamer, and I've always been a huge fan of Elder Scrolls.
Okay. Same.
And it's kind of like woven into everything. It's like a being that could be anything, essentially.
Okay.
It just shows up. Yeah. It's like a race of people in the game that's like a spirit, but not a spirit. It's hard to explain. It's a character they can kind of use for a lot of different things. Obviously, they've used it for many different things in the game. It can even be someone you fight.
Yeah.
It can be like a spirit. It can be someone who helps you through a quest. It's like all kinds of different things. I just liked the way it sounded. And I just thought it was a cool name that is easy to remember that meant something to me. Mm-hmm. Right away, people who know about Elder Scrolls were like, okay, why isn't there a song about sweet rolls? Why isn't there a song about arrow to the knee? Yeah. Or whatever.
Right, they thought it was going to be Elder Scrolls.
And I was just like, look, it's not an Elder Scrolls band.
No.
I just, I just didn't know that so many people were going to be like, I know what that is.
You
know?
Right, right.
But definitely, I don't know. You'd have to play those games a lot to know about that. Mm-hmm. So
there's some deep lore there.
What's it going to take for you guys to rent out a Grange Hall?
For again?
Yeah. Do it now.
I don't have the connection that sure, I used to have.
We got
to
meet some kids that'll put us on to the cool Grange
Hall. I would love to do that. I wish I would see kids.
Ballard VFW Hall. More. I saw some hardcore kids were putting on a show there.
Totally, dude.
That's awesome. What it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, the old like Masonic temples, the Masonic halls, the VFW halls,
yeah.
All that stuff used to be places that would welcome.
West Seattle Legion Hall used to have hardcore
Legion,
shows.
Yeah, all those things would welcome young people to come
take
and
their money,
have fun.
Yeah. They're just and, downstairs drinking like some guys upstairs doing some wild
care.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah. They come up, smoke a cigarette, watch the show. Yeah, totally. I mean, like totally. It's funny to talk about Hatebreed again. Like I remember hearing him talk about that was part of their scene too. Is like, yeah, dude, you played the Legion Hall. Yeah.
Yep.
That's where you started out because no one else would book hardcore bands, so you had to kind of make your own thing. You know?
Yeah.
So especially as kids, you couldn't book a bar because who are you going to promote that to?
I've heard of bands like at a young age getting booked at bars and they're not allowed to go. They have to just is that really okay?
They cart you in 10 minutes before you play.
Yep.
And you got to get back out.
Yep.
Man, that's wild.
Yeah. I mean, that was it's funny. I work at Tony V's right now. It was Jimmy Z's.
Yeah.
And before that was Panama's, I think. But when I was first playing in Dying Pride, we booked a show at Jimmy Z's.
Okay.
And it was a Wednesday, and I had to go to school the next day. And Dan, my boss, he was like, just don't go. Who cares about school?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. I was still pretty, like, not cool with that yet.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to get worse
Can
as time
you
went on.
Do
but
that?
I think at that time, I was like,
is that alone?
Well, what time am I going to be back home, you know? So anyways, I ended up drinking a beer and smoking cigarettes and stuff. And like, I was like, okay, I kind of let loose when we got there. I got home and my mom, she didn't really care. I went to sleep and I woke up. But the next day, everyone was like, wow, you smell like cigarettes. And you know what I mean? I was just like, oh my Lord. Yeah. I guess things are changing for me here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm a rocker.
Yeah.
Right.
I totally like, it's funny. Someone not even a little long ago, they were like, yeah, dude, I used to think you were so cool in high school. You were in a band and you were playing shows at Jimmy Z's. And I just laughed. I was like, Jimmy Z's?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, I work there now. As a sound guy, and
what's the coolest band you ever saw at Jimmy Z's? That like, did you ever see a band that like really took off, or that just blew your mind?
Drown Mary.
Oh yeah, man. R.I.P. Drown Mary.
A few times, yeah. Drown Mary was sick. I also saw them at Hooky Day. I was talking about that.
Yeah.
Hooky Day was a thing that it was like Ricker was there, and I think he has a band called Courtney Killed Kurt.
Yeah.
And then there was it Static X, Breaking No. Cold? No. God, I can't remember. It was one of those bands from that time.
Sure.
But yeah, tons of stuff was there at Jimmy Z's. I mean, I think I can remember names off the top of my head. There was a band called A Bitter Man that was pretty cool. I saw quite a few cover bands there. We still have cover bands playing there.
Jimmy Z's or Tony V's?
I think Tony has done it.
That'd be messed up if you said Jimmy Z's.
No, I think that Tony has totally taken that place and made it into a real venue.
Yeah.
It's got a real array for the PA. It's got real subs. It's got a humongous light show that looks incredible. And it's
it's getting
totally
better every
functional.
Time, too.
It's like gobos and lasers. And I mean, it looks crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he has made the bar like a really nice bar, and it just looks and feels
he's classed
like
up the awesome joint.
Well, yeah, but then a hardcore band can play.
Exactly.
I think he's like struck the balance of like, yeah, you could have a nice calm show there, but then you could also have like a really crazy metal show.
Oh yeah. I saw Aborted there with like Venom Prison and that was a sick ass brutal death metal show. I saw that a couple years back, or I mean, this was pre-pandemic, but yeah, I mean, you can do a nice, you know, rock show. Which you will go see.
You will.
With King Youngblood, Atrocity fact. Girl.
That sounds so good.
And Dre Mora, Tony V's November 2nd. So my question for you, now that you work there, you do sound. Who's going to do sound when you play?
Chris Menino.
Okay. Okay. Oh, we got shout out to Chris from Infernal Realm.
Infernal Realm, and I'm doing sound for him.
That's awesome.
This weekend, they're playing at Tony V's.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we know. We schedule,
switch off and forth.
We schedule each other.
Okay. That's
we hook each other up because he's a really good sound guy.
Yeah, he is.
And I really was like, please, Chris, I'll do a show for you. Just please do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Again, King Youngblood, Atrocity Girl, and the band you're listening to right now, Dre Mora, they're going to be playing Tony V's November 2nd. So you guys are familiar with Loud and Local. It's a local show.
Yes, sir.
I got to just put you onto the question, man. Favorite Northwest band or bands of all time? It can be a current band like King Youngblood. It could be a old school band. Favorite Northwest artists? Jared, let's start with you, man.
I was thinking about this. I knew this was coming. I was recalling back to some of the early days when I was first discovering music and figuring out, you know, what it is I like and what sounds good, what speaks to me. An early one that was a kind influence for my parents was President of the United States of America.
Yes, Lump.
Self-titled album that got many replays in the car.
That's awesome. So,
That one holds a special place for me.
You know what the guy Chris? You know what Chris is up to these days, right? He does a kids group called Casper Baby Pants.
I didn't know
where
that.
He sings little kid songs for little kids, and that like he's like the new Raffy.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yes,
wow, that's really cool.
And it's actually so cool. Probably even more successful. Like I don't know if it's more
those
successful.
Songs all sounded like Nursery Rhymes.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, check it out. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
cool. We'll what was it called?
Casper Baby Pants.
Casper Baby Pants.
I love that.
It's like, you know, if you get tired of the Wiggles, you could put on a Casper Baby Pants CD and entertain the kids.
Nice. So, nice.
Terry, what about you, man?
Well, I was 15 in the year 2000, and there were so many bands I was thinking about because I knew this was going to come up. So I thought, I was extremely affected by Death Cab for Cutie.
Yes.
And Waxwing.
Oh, I love
Waxwing. So those two bands I probably laid on my back and listened to like billions of hours.
Bawled your eyes out.
Yeah. Totally. Well, it was like something you could listen to if you were happy, something I could listen to if I was sad, something I could listen to at a party. It was always like on. Yeah. It was just always on. And at that time I had like, you know, I didn't have Spotify. I only had like five CDs or something. And I had like One for the Ride. I had two burnt CDs that had like a mixture of stuff I liked that had Waxwing on there, but all Sunny Day Real Estate and stuff like that. But the one I remember was from We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes. And that was my favorite album for that. And I wanted to mention out Rocky Vadelato. If anyone doesn't know about Waxwing, it's kind of hard to find those recordings, but you can find Rocky's music on Spotify.
Oh, so good. Yeah, he's doing a new band.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you're going to look for, I would like you, so you don't just listen to a song and then run away. There's an album called Makers.
Great
and
album.
The song you should listen to is White Daisy Paint.
It's a great
album. It's like
album.
One of my favorite songs of he's ever made. And it's so Rocky. It's just so something he would write. And I think he's just so, so good. Also that Wild Roots album, this is the most latest one, and then the song Evergreen on that. But that's my favorite.
It's a very heavy album considering all that he's gone through in the last year is the loss of a child. And that album, I mean, he just does it in only a way that he can.
Yes.
You know? So
absolutely incredible all the way around. For
I'm excited to hear his new band because he's doing a band again.
Yeah, you know, it's not,
I love Rocky.
I'm seeing the pictures. Yeah. I'm seeing the stuff.
He's doing the what do they call it? The GoFundMe?
It is GoFundMe.
Yeah, GoFundMe.
Yeah, they got. I mean, and he's got so much support.
Oh yeah, they fully funded it. They're doing it vinyl, so it's going to be
so
awesome.
Happy about that.
So cool.
It's going to be rad. Okay, so we talked about the influences. So what's next for Dre Mora after this show? Again, it's November 2nd at Tony V's with King Youngblood, Atrocity Girl, and the band you're hearing right now, Dre Mora. What's
we've got one more show after that.
Okay.
For November 13th. That'll be the band coming through called Source.
Source is sick.
Yeah,
dude,
we're excited to play
sick.
With them.
Crazy music.
And then after that, we're shutting down the year.
Doing
coming up with some more new material.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, really, we are going to be playing we're testing out some songs on the November 2nd show.
Awesome.
That we are playing during practice right now that I am so excited about.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We are both like, I haven't felt this way about songs in practice in a long time. So we're excited to play them in front of people and just see who goes, hey, what was that song? I want to hear that. Someone do it. I know it's going to happen because these are like catchy and good, and they're just such good songs.
That's great.
We're so hyped.
But hopefully we get to finish a 4-song EP.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal.
Yep.
And then we're going to kind of revamp the logo.
Okay.
And kind of make a full facelift and make a big step forward to what we decided, which was do what we want to do and be genuine and make sure that what we're doing, we can replicate over and over again.
That's cool.
You know, just like we were talking about Rocky, I want to be like Rocky.
You're growing up as a band.
Yes, exactly.
a reawakening of sorts.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm stoked to be a part of the journey with, you know, unveiling some of these songs. And
Thank you so much for doing that. Of course.
And we'll talk, you know, once you have those songs songs recorded. We finally got this done. We finally got it in studio. And we're going to play another one for you. Again, catch them. Tony V's November 2nd with King Youngblood and Atrocity Girl. We're talking to Dre Mora. We're going to play a song called Younger Than You. But before we do, any final shout outs, thank yous while you have the floor?
Thank you, Kevin, for having us here.
Yeah.
We are thankful and honored to be here. I've been listening to The Rock Station since we've lived in Seattle.
That's cool. Yeah,
and,
man.
You know, it's cool to be here in the building in front of these mics right now.
This is a trip, to be honest. Like, I mean, the rock symbol on the microphone and stuff is absolutely insane.
It's iconic, right?
Yeah. And I know I was hoping we would get to talk more about you. But we did not. But I wanted to congratulate you because I watched your episode it was a wrestling. I think it was more supposed to be about wrestling. And they ended up talking about your broadcasting career, which I didn't know about until I watched that. All the details about how you even got the Metal Shop gig and stuff.
Okay.
Because I listened to the old Metal Shop.
Yeah.
And drank beers
with Kevin and Steve.
And then there was a period where I kind of didn't listen to it. And when it came back, you were the host.
Yeah.
And I never knew exactly how that went
down. It was
down.
Like a contest, yeah.
But yeah, you were working for a...
KGRG in
Green River. KGRG for Dead Air, which just had a 25th
anniversary. Yeah, 20th anniversary.
And that's the show you started there.
Yeah.
Congratulations on
that. Thank you very much.
And look at you, you're still here doing this.
Still here.
I mean, I just have one question for you, though.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to answer, but concisely... What continues to drive you to support local music? Because metal in general it's the same thing. Even if it's popular, it's never as popular.
Sure.
It always needs the churn of humans. Mm. It never gets the full spin like a pop song.
Mm.
So like Loud and Local is this. Metal Shop is a lot the same to me.
Yeah. Just the passion, just like it's – I have like a vision for it, and I have a vision of what it should be in the full. They're kind of my babies at this point, you know. And I love, you know, doing it, and you know, it's not my full time job, like you know, but I love doing it, you know, and it's a passion project, and just have a lot of fun with it, man. It's still fun to me, so I love. Finding out new artists. It's just a good time, man. And you know, truthfully, I'm a workaholic. That's what it is, Terry.
Well, you know, I believe that because I go like, man, he's got a job. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's doing this. He's on all these shows. I'm like, man, and you seem like you have energy to do it. You don't seem like you're showing up and you're like dragging in there. I mean, maybe you feel like that sometimes.
Sometimes, but
even
for
right
the most
now,
part,
I'm surprised you're spry. You know what I mean? You sound energetic.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like
this kind of stuff can wear on people. You know, I'm gonna start doing more episodes for my podcast, but I had to take a little.
Let's shout out your podcast. Which podcast?
It's called Ultra Nass Podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, I've had a lot of cool guests on there. I'm planning on changing it, but that's where I kind of like grew an immense respect for people who do stuff like this because this is actually way more of an art form than you even understand until you try to do it. Try to put on a program that you make for 30 minutes or anything. Try to do it for 2 hours, 4 hours. You know what I mean? Like the men's room and stuff like that.
Day?
This is real deal. You think they're phoning it in, but then when you do it, you go like, wow, this takes so much charisma.
You gotta be on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to show up and like do it and like continually have the juice. You know, like so congratulations on
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having us again. Hopefully we can do it again.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So much.
And thank you very much. Catch them on November 2nd with King Youngblood and Atrocity Girl.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.